stand and turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 38 through 42 in just a moment. We're continuing our series, Rest for Our Soul, and we'll be concluding that next week, and then we'll start our new series for Christmas, Hope. And hope really is the reason that Jesus Christ came. He gives hope to us all, amen? And so we'll be starting that series the last Sunday in November, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, so we encourage you to join us for that. This morning's message is titled, Choosing the Better Part, Choosing the Better Part. I love an illustration that I recently read, and the commentator asked, if I were to ask you, are cars meant to stop or go, what would you say? So let me ask you that. Are cars meant to stop or go? What's your answer?
Both.
Okay, that's the conclusion that he said. We would all respond, both. Cars have two pedals, right? They have a gas pedal to accelerate to go, and they have a brake pedal so that we can stop. If cars had only accelerator pedals, man, would we be in trouble, amen? And if they only had brake pedals, then the purpose of the car would never be realized, because the purpose of the car is to get us from one place to another. It's to go, so it can take us from one place to another. So simply put, cars are meant to go, to transport us from one place to the other, but they must also stop for obvious reasons. And that too, the writer says, is what Christians are called to do. We are to be stop and go people who frequently stop to pray, stop to study, stop to worship, stop to hear from God, so that when we go, we know what God wants us to do, and we can go where God is leading us to go. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So as Christians, we've got to learn to live in the tension of stop and go, to grow in our relationship with the Lord, to enjoy the abundant life that He desires for us to enjoy, to discover our purpose, and to be more useful for our Master. And that's a truth that is illustrated in the familiar visit of Jesus to the home of Mary and Martha. Read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. The scripture says, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or few things are necessary, some versions say, or indeed, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. This story is one that's familiar to most Christians, but it can also be one of the most misunderstood passages, because sometimes the importance of sitting at Jesus' feet is exalted above the purpose of serving Jesus or doing the work of the Lord. We many times hear sermons that emphasize that we need to be more like Martha, and we need to have a part of ourselves that is a Martha, a Mary, a stop. But we also need a part of ourselves that's a Martha, a go. And we need to have that balance in our life. It's critical to sit at Jesus' feet, to be in his presence, to listen to him. And we see that throughout the Gospels. Jesus repeatedly warns that hearing without doing is worthless. So there's also a part where Jesus is saying, yes, it's important to stop and it's important to sit at my feet. But there's also a part where Jesus says it's important to do and it's important to go. The point that Jesus makes in this gentle reprimand of Martha is that we can become too easily distracted and preoccupied and going about 100 different directions doing so many things that we lose sight of what is really important in life, that we lose sight. And Jesus chides Martha for being too distracted and too busy, and he commends Mary for having chosen the better part, because she refused to be pressured into being consumed by busyness. And that's what our society today tries to do, right? Consume us with busyness. There's a lot of pressure that you have to be do, and when you're not at work, you need to be involved in this, you need to go to the gym, you need to have your kids in soccer and baseball and football and basket weaving and cheerleading. You have to have them involved in everything so that they need a secretary just to keep them straight with what they're doing. And they're 10 years old. Busyness, busyness, busyness. And our society is constantly pressuring us to be consumed by busyness and distraction. And Jesus commends Mary because amidst a situation where she could easily have been pressured into busyness, she took time to sit at Jesus' feet, to hear from Jesus, and to rest in his presence. Now that doesn't mean that Mary was lazy, does it? Because shortly after this encounter with Jesus, she would provide a needed service for Jesus, anointing his feet with expensive ointment. The world is so full of distractions, and we need to ask the Lord to give us insight into our own lives to know how to choose the better part. That's not to say that we don't have to do certain things, but we need to learn how to choose the better part. And Jesus lovingly helped Martha see that it was also important to take time to be at his feet, to hear from him, and to rest in his presence. And the first thing we see is that resting in his presence enables us to choose what is better. Rest enables us to choose what is better. Relentless busyness steals our time from the things that replenish our soul and renew our spirit. Relentless busyness drains us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In Martha, we see how distraction with unnecessary things led to preoccupation or worry that she just couldn't handle the load, which led to exhaustion, which led to frustration, which led to resentment. All of these negative feelings boiling inside of her because she was just so busy, busy, busy. She couldn't get into Jesus' presence in order to be renewed, refreshed, and restored. So Martha was heading for burnout. She was so busy, it made her upset even with her loved ones. It made her upset with her sister because she couldn't spend time with those. She couldn't even spend time with those that she invited into her home. And not only did she not have time to enjoy the people she had invited into her home, she didn't have time to enjoy Jesus' presence. And now not only does she resent her sister, but she resents Jesus for not siding with her and telling her sister to get off her buns and help her. She's upset with Jesus. And sometimes we get upset with Jesus because we made a mess in our life of our own making. And now we're frustrated with Jesus that he's not bailing us out. But when we spend time with those that we have healthy, loving relationships with, be it our family, be it our friends, be it our spiritual family, it has many positive benefits for us. Research in positive psychology has shown that social relationships are integral to a full and flourishing life. If you want to experience the abundant life, you need to have rich, fulfilling relationships in your life. Other research shows how spending time in positive relationships can increase our enthusiasm, our stamina, and our effectiveness. In fact, positive social interaction can support our health. It can make you healthier. Did you know that? Spending time in positive, not negative, not toxic relationships that are going to drain you, but positive social relationships actually makes you have better health. It increases your life expectancy. It strengthens your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and your neuroendocrine system. So you want to be healthy? Then get connected in positive social relationships. And what more positive social relationships can you have than those with a family of faith, with a family of God, people who are positive, who are faith-filled, who are encouraging. Amen? But the reason that so many people today are emotionally depleted, anxious, overwhelmed, depressed, and distressed is because they have Martha syndrome. They have Martha syndrome. Their relentless activity is draining them, and they are not taking time to enjoy positive, uplifting, loving, spiritual relationships in their life that can replenish their soul. But even more importantly, relentless activity keeps us from spending time with the one who is the source of life, joy, hope, peace, and strength. He is the one thing that is needed. Amen? The one thing that is needed. So when we don't have time to spend with him, we become spiritually depleted. Spiritually depleted. Regular times of rest is an intentional act of choosing what is better. And remember now, we're using the word rest, not in the secular sense of kicking back in your easy chair and watching hours of TV, but rest has to do with reconnecting with God, reconnecting with the family of God, and reconnecting with those relationships in our life that are important. Amen? That's the biblical sense of rest. Of course, when we talk about rest, we're not talking about doing nothing either. That's not what rest means. We're talking about intentionally taking time to enjoy the people that God has placed in our life to be a blessing. Family, friends, our spiritual family. That's where our soul is replenished. But most importantly, the rest we're talking about is hitting the brake pedal regularly to spend time with Jesus. Because it is in the presence of Jesus that our spirit is renewed.
Amen.
One of my favorite passages in Isaiah 40, verse 31, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can't wait on the Lord when you've got your foot on the accelerator pedal, full swing in your life, and you're just going 100 miles an hour. Amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. The Bible frequently talks about the importance of waiting on the Lord. And you know, in different passages, the word wait has different meanings in the Bible. One Hebrew word, yachal, means hopeful expectancy, that we're looking eagerly for God to do something. That's one aspect of waiting. Hu is another Hebrew word, and it means anxious longing, that we are looking and we're wanting God, and we're yearning for God, and we want God to move. And then shaha, which refers to a long-lasting, desperate waiting. We are desperate for God. We need God to come. We need God to move. But the word used here in Isaiah 40, verse 31, is chava, and it means to bind together, even to twist, to bind together and to twist. So what does that mean when it says, they that wait on the Lord? Well, the meaning conveyed here is to take time or to linger in God's presence.
Amen.
Or to go where he is for a gathering, then binding yourself together with him. One commentator said it's like tying a knot. You wrap yourself around the Lord as he wraps himself around you until you become totally knotted together, entwined in one another. What a beautiful picture, amen? Hallelujah. You are not waiting like a person who is waiting for the red light to turn green so that you can go. That's not the kind of waiting we're talking about. This is the kind of waiting where you're lingering in God's presence to draw near to him, for him to fill you so that you can intertwine yourself together with him so that you can become inseparable from him. Hallelujah. What a powerful image. Our strength is renewed as we intertwine ourselves with the Lord, as we bind ourselves together with the Lord. It's only as we attach ourselves to him that our strength is made new, and we can mount up with wings as of eagles and run and not be weary. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you begin to feel overwhelmed by the demands of life and even serving the people you love, and it becomes a burden to do that, when you begin to feel frustrated, when you begin to feel empty inside, exhausted and burnt out, what is that? It's a red flag. It's a red flag.
Thank you.
A warning to us that we have become distracted with too many things. And it is causing us to become preoccupied, overburdened, anxious, and drained, physically, emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually. So what Jesus is telling us when he commends Mary is, hey, you know what? You need to regularly hit the brake pedal in your life.
That's right, Pastor.
You need to intentionally take time to enjoy the people that God has blessed you with, that bring encouragement, that bring life, that bring hope into you. And most importantly, you need to continually hit the brake pedal to spend time in the Lord's presence, because he is the one that renews your strength.
Yes.
He restores your soul.
Yes.
He revives your spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is the one thing,
yes,
the one thing that is needed.
Hallelujah.
Nothing is more important than spending time with Jesus. So we need to follow Mary's example and choose the better part. We need to choose to hit the brake pedal and spend time regularly with Jesus. I think some people that I see, they've removed the brake pedal completely, and they only have one pedal in their life, and it's the gas pedal. It's go, 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 go. They don't even have time for church in their life, amen? But we need that brake pedal. We need to hit that brake pedal regularly in our life to spend time with Jesus, because that is where our life is renewed. That is where our spirit is refreshed, and we experience the fullness of joy and the indescribable peace that he has promised. It is in his presence that we are changed to become more like him. The more we go, 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 and spend time doing in the world, we become like the world. But the more we spend time in his presence, we become more like him. And it is in his presence that we hear from him. We hear what he wants in our life. So that when it's time to hit the gas pedal, we know where to go and what to do. And we're not just going, going, going for the sake of going and being busy. When we take time to spend in his presence, we can fulfill his goodwill and purpose rather than just being busy for busy's sake. Martha was busy preparing a meal. She didn't ask Jesus or his disciples, are you hungry? She didn't even ask him what they wanted to eat. But she was busy.
Ooh, yeah.
Mary took time to sit at his feet. So in the very next chapter, she was able to offer a service or ministry to him that was well-pleasing in his sight, as she anointed his feet with oil in preparation for his death and burial. She was able to offer a needed service because she knew what God's will was for Jesus and for her. So when we rest, it gives us the opportunity to choose the better part. But rest is also where the work of the heart takes place. Rest is where the work of the heart takes place. We have a tendency to focus on the external, while God wants us to focus on the internal. Martha was busy doing all the external works of serving Jesus and his disciples. And she sincerely loved Jesus and wanted to honor Jesus and his followers, his disciples, by serving them a wonderful meal, which was something that was expected in that culture. Middle Eastern cultures are heavy on hospitality. And, you know, my dad was Middle Eastern, and my mom was trained up in the Middle Eastern practices, so to speak, because she was, when she was younger, always entertaining his family. And from the moment you walk through the door, there is food there for you. There's a big spread before the meal. And so, you know, they would bring out all of the appetizers, and she would constantly be saying, here, have some of this. Here, have some of this. Here, do you want? And she didn't ask you, do you want something to drink like they do in the American culture? She brought you something. I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm just talking about refreshments. She brought you something, whether you wanted it or not. You were going to have something to drink. You know, whatever soda or whatever, she'd bring out a whole tray. Here, do you want Sprite? Do you want Coke? Do you want water? What do you, you know, and everybody was going to have something in it. And then came the meal, and it was a big spread, you know, and you were not walking out of there without at least having seconds.
Wow.
And then after dinner came the dessert.
Wow.
And then after you'd fellowship for 1 or 2 hours, then came the Arabic coffee.
Wow.
You know, and it was a whole prolonged thing. You know, that this was expected in that culture. And it was expected in the culture of Jesus' day. So Martha has all of this pressure on her to put on this big meal, to put on that, because that's what the culture said. And sometimes we can allow the culture to define us. We can allow the culture to pressure us into being so busy that we don't have time for Jesus. On one occasion, after Jesus had miraculously fed a crowd of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, if you remember, the crowd wanted to take Jesus there and then and crown him as king. Because after all, he could solve at least 2 of the world's big problems, poverty and hunger. Here's the answer, Jesus. But they're trying to take him and make him king. And what does he do? The Bible says he slipped away from the crowd with his disciples and he crossed to the other side of Galilee. When the crowds realized he was gone, they followed him. And Jesus said in John 26 and 27, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous sign. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. And in this passage, you have a real clear example of people that were focusing on the externals. And Jesus says what you really need to be focusing on is the internal. Is the internal. But they still didn't get it. Because down in verses 28 and 29, they reply, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? We want to be able to do miracles too, just like you. What should we do? Here's the focus again on the externals. They're still not getting it. And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one who he has sent. So again, he shifts the focus from the external to the internal. You want to do miracles. You want to do the outward things. You want to be able to multiply loaves and fishes. But Jesus says you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the works of God rather than on God himself and having a relationship with God. Jesus says the only work God wants from you is to believe. It's a work of the heart. It's a work of faith. Jesus is saying what pleases God is not that we do great things outwardly, not even miracles. What he wants is for us to surrender our heart to him. What he wants is for us to know him, to desire him, to seek him, to love him. You know, today there's still a tendency to focus on the externals, thinking that that's what's most important in God's sight. And don't get me wrong. What we do for the Lord is important. And we should all serve the Lord. The Bible tells us we all have a ministry unto the Lord. And every single day we should be serving the Lord. And that's important. And whatever we do for the Lord, we should do it with excellence. But not too long after sitting at Jesus' feet, we find that Mary, as I mentioned earlier, anointed his feet with expensive ointment, which was an act of ministry or an act of service that Jesus commended her for. It was well-pleasing to him. And if you remember the story, as Mary's anointing Jesus' feet with this expensive ointment, Judas in his heart is criticizing her. Because Judas had a mind only for one thing.
Money.
It was money. He was actually stealing from the treasury bag of the disciples of Jesus' church, if you will. He had his hand in the cookie jar stealing from the money in the church. And so he only had a mind for money. And so when he sees this display of extravagance as she's anointing Jesus' feet with this expensive ointment, he starts to criticize her. And he's thinking in his heart, what a wasteful act. This ointment could have been sold and it could have been given to the poor. He had no intention of giving it to the poor. But you know, we can I guess he deemed himself the poor because he probably wanted it. But he, you know, he's trying to justify his criticism. But Jesus says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. By sitting at Jesus' feet, Mary understood something that even the 12 disciples did not yet understand. She understood that Jesus was destined for the cross. And when she sat at his feet while Martha was busy trying to prepare a meal, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet, she understood his purpose. She discovered his purpose And in discovering his purpose, she discovered his purpose for her. She discovered what he wanted her to do. And so in the right time, she was able to offer to him a strategic service or ministry rather than just busy work, The scripture points out that it was expensive perfume that she poured out on Jesus' feet. And that indicates that Jesus deserves the very best in whatever we do for him. He deserves excellence in whatever we do for him. But her service was also an outflow of the time that she had spent in his presence, the time she spent at his feet. And that's why, instead of rebuking her busyness like he did with Martha, Jesus now commends her ministry or her service as well pleasing to him. And what this story tells us is not that Martha's bad and Mary's good and we need to be more like Mary and less than Martha. What the story tells us is that in our lives, we need both a gas pedal and a brake pedal. And we need to press the brake pedal more frequently than we've been doing. We need to regularly hit the brakes, sit at his feet, rest in his presence. So when it comes time to step on the gas pedal, we'll know what he wants us to do, and what we do will be pleasing to him because we have heard from him, because his heart has been shaped in us as we spent time with him, and his will and his purpose have been revealed to us. Something else we see from the story is that God is more concerned about who we are becoming than what we are doing. What pleases God most is that we would place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would give him our lives, that we would have an ever-growing and deepening relationship with him. What God desires most from us is that we would love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. These are heart issues. These are about the kind of person that we are. A loving person, someone who loves God with all of our heart and loves others. Now, of course, love is always expressed in action, but love starts in the heart. Am I right?
Yeah.
So the heart matters most, but then the heart will be manifested in our actions. But it's all got to start in the heart. And so what's most important to God is the work of God that takes place inside of us when we place our faith in him. And it is as we spend time in his presence that our life is transformed to become who God is calling us to be. In 1 Corinthians 3:18 it says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So what Paul is saying here is that we are being changed, we are being transformed by the Spirit to become more like Christ as we contemplate his glory. And his glory speaks of his perfection, all of who he is. And the word contemplate, or some versions say gaze, speaks of setting our attention on. It speaks of spending time with the Lord's presence, seeking him, soaking in his word, soaking in his presence, soaking in worship. And as we do that, the Spirit changes us more and more into his image. And that is God's goal for our life. You know, you can do and not be pleasing to God. Didn't Jesus say that in the end time, many people are going to say, "Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Lord, did I not do miracles in your name?" And what is he going to say? "Depart from me. I never knew you." You know? So the most important thing is the heart matter. It's the fact that we are seeking God, that we are contemplating or setting our gaze on him, that we are spending time in his presence, that we are allowing him to change us and make us more and more like Christ. Now, out of that is going to flow the actions that are pleasing to God. Because when we have the heart of Christ, then we're going to continue the ministry of Christ.
Amen.
We're going to continue the ministry of Christ. But the heart matters. Who we are becoming is what's most important. And becoming like Christ means that we have his character. And what is his character? Well, the fruit of the Spirit describe the character of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the character of Christ. And you know what? From the time I've gotten saved, I've been growing in those areas.
Amen.
I still have room to grow. Amen. But more and more,
yes,
he's making me
right
into the image of
Amen
Christ. And I hope that that's your testimony
Amen
as well. Amen.
Right.
There's areas that I need to grow in still. And I pray that God will perfect that work in me. But I know that I'm not who I used to be.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen. I'm not yet what he wants me to be.
That's right.
But I'm not who I used to be.
Oh,
amen.
Yes.
Praise
yes
the Lord.
Amen.
And so
amen
as we spend time in his presence, he changes us more and more into the image of Christ. And as we spend time in his presence, we are led more and more by the Spirit with a clear sense of God's purpose and God's mission for our lives, so that when it's time to hit the gas pedal, we know what to do and how to do it. What we do will flow out of who he is making us,
Amen,
who we are becoming, and that is pleasing. Sonny Bryan is the founder of a popular barbecue restaurant chain in Texas. And barbecue is big time business in Texas, amen? Everywhere you look, there's barbecue restaurants, and he has a very successful chain of barbecue restaurants in Texas. But he's a very hardworking man, but he's also a man of tremendous faith. He loves God. And among his many responsibilities as the owner-operator of a large barbecue chain, a successful restaurant chain, Sonny has always cleaned the bathroom. His son often wondered why his wealthy restaurateur father always chose to clean the bathroom, thinking, well, maybe he wants to set an example for his employees that they would be, you know, servant leaders, or he wanted to set a standard for high levels of cleanliness in his restaurant. This is what his son was thinking all this time. Finally, he decided to ask his father, why do you always put yourself to clean the bathroom? And his father responded, oh, that's easy. I use that time to pray, because no one bothers you when you're cleaning the bathroom.
Keep it real. I love it.
So Sonny loved the Lord, and he was working very hard to build this chain of restaurants. But with all those demands on his life, he knew he needed to regularly
Amen
spend time with Jesus,
Amen,
even if it was while he was cleaning the bathroom. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that puts a whole new twist on the phrase, the throne room. Amen?
Yeah.
He was cleaning the throne room while he entered into the throne room.
Go there.
Amen? But what Jesus wants us to grasp and to practice is that the better part of life is not all the work that we get done.
Right.
It's not all the tasks that we accomplish. It's not all the successes that we achieve or all the degrees that we rack up behind our name. But the better part of life is sitting at his feet.
Amen.
It's learning that we need to hit that brake pedal.
Mm.
But that hitting that brake pedal prepares us to hit the gas.
Amen.
We need to stop and rest, enjoying the people that God has placed in our life to replenish our soul, but most importantly, spending time with Jesus so that our spirit can be renewed, because he is the source of life, strength, joy, peace, and hope. Anybody here need that?
Amen.
You need life, you need strength, you need hope, you need peace, you need joy. And it is in that time of resting in his presence that the work of the heart takes place. It's at his feet that we are transformed to be more like Jesus. It is at his feet that our hearts come into alignment with his will and his purpose. And it is at his feet that we fall in love with him more and more every day. And as we fall in love with him, his love permeates our hearts,
oh, yes,
so that we will love others.
Thank you, God,
as well. Will you make a commitment today to choose the better part this week?
Good.
To choose to hit the gas pedal, the brake pedal every day before you hit the gas pedal.
Amen.
And spend time in His presence. To not allow the distractions and urgencies of life to keep you so busy and preoccupied that you don't have time for what matters most. Let's choose the one necessary thing each day by hitting the brake pedal, spending time in His presence. But to enjoy true rest in His presence requires us to have a relationship with God. And a relationship with God starts with repenting of our sins and placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says that we've all sinned, and sin cuts us off from God. In our sin, we are spiritually dead, cut off from God. But the very reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth, lived a sinless life, and went to the cross to offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sins is so that when we place our faith in Him and repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we turn away from our sins and we say, God, I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins, and I turn to You in faith, and I welcome You into my life. And the moment that we do that with a sincere heart, the Bible says we're born again. We are made spiritually alive, and we become a child of God. It is the beginning of a wonderful lifelong relationship with God. And if you're here today or listening to us online and you have not yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ, or maybe you did it several years ago and you drifted away and you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart to come back to the Lord, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And as you pray it with a sincere heart, God is going to hear and answer you. Would you pray this prayer? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I turn to You in faith, and I invite You to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time. You just made the best decision of your life, and we welcome you to the family of God. If you just prayed that prayer and you're here in-house, I encourage you to text I prayed to the number on the screen. Online, you can type I prayed in the comments. And a little bit later today, we will give you a response response that will have a link in it. And if you'll click that link and fill in your name and email address, we would like to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to continue to move forward in your faith, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. And we want to help you to begin to move forward in your new relationship with God. And this will give you some simple steps that you can take to grow in your faith with the Lord. But again, congratulations. Very quickly, I want to tell you three things that every Christian needs to do and that you need to begin if you just prayed that prayer. One, talk to God every day. Start with thanksgiving. The Bible says we enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's the door into His presence. So thank Him every single day for the good things in your life, for His blessings, for life itself, for every good thing you have. And then talk to Him about whatever problems, struggles, needs, or difficulties that you have, and ask Him help. That's a very simple way to begin praying every single day. So talk to God every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible. That's His word, His message to us. If you don't yet have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or on your tablet, and you can read as much as you want. There's never a charge. Start reading in 1 John. Just read a few verses, 5 or 6 verses every day before you read. Ask the Lord to help you to understand what He's saying to you. If you don't understand something at the moment, that's okay. Put it to the side. When you need to understand it, God will help you to understand it. But what you do understand, ask God to help you apply it, put it into practice in your life. So let God talk to you every day. And then thirdly, Get connected to a local Assembly of God church. Of course, if you're here in South Florida, we would love to have you as a part of our church family. And we have a wonderful church family that will encourage you, pray for you, support you, and walk alongside of you in your journey with the Lord. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then we encourage you to find an Assembly of God near you and put down roots in that church. Don't just attend the service, but get connected. Become involved in the life groups and the ministries of the church. Build relationships that will be there to help you along life's journey. That's how we grow in the context of relationship. So three things. Talk to God every day. Let God talk to you every day. And get rooted. Get planted in a local church. Get connected in relationship. And that will help you to grow in the Lord. As we close out, I want to speak now to those who have placed their faith in Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning to commit, to not become so busy like Martha that all you have is your foot on the gas pedal and you're not breaking to spend time in God's presence. There's so many distractions and urgencies in life that will keep us so busy that we'll not have time for the one thing that's most important. But let's intentionally choose to hit the brake pedal every day this week. Let's intentionally choose to take time to spend with God every single day. Start, if you have not yet started and have a habit in your life, just start with 10 or 15 minutes. You don't have to start with an hour every day. You can eventually build. But start with 10 or 15 minutes every day. Spend 5 minutes in His Word, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes in prayer every single day. You're going to see what a difference will make in your life and in your relationship with the Lord. And take time to spend with the people that bring life and renewal to you, spiritual people, people of faith that will just minister life and renewal to you. Take time every week to do that. And if you're willing to make that commitment to not just be so busy, but to choose the better thing in life, would you stand to your feet and just pray that prayer with me here and at home? Speak to God for yourself. Make that commitment from your own heart with your own words as I pray over us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everyone here that is standing and those that are at home, Lord God, that are responding to your word with a willingness of heart and a gladness to obey, Lord God. Father, as we stand before you today, Lord, we repent if we have been people that have just hit the gas pedal, go, 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 and it has kept us, Lord God, from the most important thing, Lord God, from the best thing in life, which is you and our relationship with you. Forgive us if we have done that, Lord God. But Father, we pray today for the help of your Holy Spirit, that we would learn to live within the tension of the brake pedal and the gas pedal, that we would learn how to brake regularly in our life, to take time to be in Jesus' presence, to grow in our love for you, Lord God, to allow you to change our hearts, and to hear from you so that we can know your will and your purpose for our lives. And help us, Lord God, to take time regularly to spend in the relationships that you have blessed our lives in, that minister encouragement, that minister strength, that minister hope, that minister faith to us. Help us to reconnect regularly with you and with those faith relationships that you've blessed us with. And we commit to be intentional about doing that in our lives. Help us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to live out that commitment. In Jesus' name we pray. Fullness of joy. And so as we take time regularly to spend in your presence, Lord God, may joy fill our souls, Lord. Father, we pray your blessing upon your people, that you would cover them with your protection, Lord, and that as they take time to be in your presence each day this week, let their strength be renewed, let their spirit be revived, and let their soul be restored, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you, and we hope the sermon and the message has been a blessing to you. God bless you. You may be seated. We'll start this.